This is the interesting part. I like what the Wale Oke said. Wale Oke. He said, those that do things that count, don't stop to count them. You hear what I said? He said, those that do things that count, don't stop to count them. I've told you all, if you can count that, I give one naira, I give two naira, I give three naira, I deserve blessing. Poverty is your friend. You know, I've told you that thing again. I hope you have believed it now. If you're able to say, God, this is my tithe booklet, the devourer cannot come against me. Next day, the devourer will raise an army against you, and God will tell the angels, move back, let them flog these stupid boys, small, small. They will flog you very well. After that, you will tear the tithe booklet. You will throw it away. I'm telling you, the real acts of goodness that counts, you don't know when you do them. I'm telling you, you won't even think you're doing something big. One thing is, you know, this is how I see life. When I saw that movie, that cartoon, it was the day this young Hercules decided to give his life for a girl that he loved. That, okay, the devil had killed him, killed her. He wanted to rescue her from Hades. That's the Lord of the Dead. So now God then said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Take me and let her go. And the guy said, I hope you don't mind. By the time you reach out to bring her out, you are going to be dead. I hope you have no problem with that. This is the interesting part. The moment he did that, from above came the power to make him a god also. Therefore, he did not die. And yet he rescued the girl. This is the point I'm making. The real sacrifice. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this. Than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. What am I saying? Jesus accrued in his account with God such a high level of value. Then finally, when he should, like most of us would, grab and say, yes, I have arrived. That was when God came and collected it again. Let me tell you something. There's something about God. I beg you in the name of Jesus, all right? Redeem yourself from this gospel that makes blessings look as if that's the focus of Christianity. I like one thing Charles Stanley said. He said, sacrifice is the focus of Christianity. There's a reason I'm saying that. We're talking about hundredfold blessing, all right? When God wants to bless you a hundredfold, this is what he does. He takes away that which you value the most. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Do you know how Isaac came? Because of faith. Do you know how Isaac came? Because of persistent work with God. Do you know how Isaac came? Because this man kept on obeying God. Then finally, when God wanted to bless him, finally, he said, give me Isaac. That this is the reason why you have worked with me all these years. To give you the final blessing, I want that thing that you have labored for in working with me. You know, we don't understand the gospel very well. We think what Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 2 was that Jesus, he existed in heaven. Oh gosh, let's read this thing. Oh, what I want to say is very, 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 very deep. Many people will hear this and disagree. But what I'm about to tell you is the truth. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although, verse 6, he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him. What I want to discuss is that word, equality with God. Everybody say equality with God. Equality. I don't have time to explain it. We discussed this one in previous times. The equality with God, he's saying that he did not consider a thing to be grasped. Listen to this. Listen to this. Please don't run away when I say this. You know, Jesus made a statement and everybody disappeared. Don't worry, they still came back. Even if you run away, you will still be back. That equality with God was not describing how he was before he was born. He was describing a position he attained to on the earth by reason of a close and unpolluted walk with the Father. Listen, that was why the disciples looked and said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves, they obey him? Listen, he had to explain to his disciples that nobody can take my life from me because I have attained a position called equality with God. He said, I laid down my life of myself. When he went to raise Lazarus, you know what he said? He said, let me prove some things to these people that men are not the same. The day they said Lazarus was sick, he told his disciples, this guy is not supposed to die. But right now, as far as I'm concerned, it makes no difference whether he dies or he does not die. Because when I get there, he will live again. He did not pray Lazarus. He didn't raise Lazarus by a special anointing. He raised Lazarus as a proof that men can attain a place where a man will die. They will punch God's direct line and say, I heard John Bull died while I was not around. He said, yes, send him back now. I think the guy has work to do for me. In fact, he's owing me money. And if John Bull has sense, he shouldn't pay. Because the moment you pay, the man will let you die. Just like I say, next week, until you have lived to be 90. He said, I think I can die. Oh, yeah, boys, call that man, let me pay him his money. Now, that's the joke. But this one I'm making. That's how he raised Lazarus. Go and read it. I don't have time to explain it. He looked at Lazarus and just simply said, Father, I thank you because you heard me. In fact, you hear me always. Whichever way I pray on top, I pray below, I sleep while I pray, always. Whichever way I pray, and whichever time I pray, you hear. Therefore, you know the reason why I'm shouting? I'm just shouting so that they will know that me and you, we have ways by which we talk. Now, Lazarus, come forth. That was 4 days dead. If Lazarus had been dead, listen to me, for 1 year, he would still have come out. That was the position he got to. Listen, everything he had labored for, spiritually speaking, one day God now demanded it and said, lay it down, and you will become obedient to death on the cross. That was hard. Have you noticed all the suicide bombers that Islam has are people who are not going anywhere? You've not noticed? That's why they recruit them from slums. Yemen is now a fertile ground for suicide bombers because it's the poorest Arabian nation. Poor people are the ones that blow themselves. Because they are not going anywhere anyway. Frustrated young men who can be brainwashed because they think there is no hope and they promise their family care. Listen. For you to be rich, have plenty of money, have private jets, be earning $200 million a year, have wives, children, have everything, and yet blow yourself up for Islam, is the day I will know that you guys are serious. That's the only thing. Look, go and check it. That is only Christ that does that. That's what Jesus did. Full of life, full of everything. He said, the prince of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. What can he do? You know what it means? That in the midst of a war, Jesus will walk and say, everybody shut up. Everybody will stop shooting. 13 times they tried to kill him. They couldn't. Not that he threw everything away. He said, why? He said, because of the joy that was set before him. What is the joy? It's not that he will get more. The Bible says he had attained equality with God. What was the thing? That he said, this is your disciples too. They will now be able to attain that which you have already. He says, is that what we are going to achieve? And God said, yes. He said, therefore, he humbled himself even unto death as a slave, as a condemned man on the cross. The Bible says, therefore, God highly exalted him beyond the one that he had before and gave him a name that was above every name. The equality with God of which you describe had to do with this temporal existence. But now God gave him a name so that in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. Listen, that was a final part of his character that made him able to take the seal, take the book, and to break the seals thereof. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Listen to me. Jesus, look, he's not, you don't compare. Don't look at the head of Christianity is Christ Jesus. The head of Muslims, that's an insult. The head of Buddha is Buddha. No, it's an insult. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Behold the Lamb of God, John said, that takes away the sin of the whole earth. There is nobody on earth that ranks with him. None. Listen to me, any true leader of any religion that was not lying to people, if he lives today, tell him the story of Jesus Christ, he will drop everything that he has and follow him. Because what are you looking for? Everything that you can ever want on earth is packed in the person Christ Jesus. Listen to me, all the forces of this earth are subject to him. Let me end with something. You know what? Why he died? It was so that every one of us can step into the same shoes that he was wearing. Therefore, everything that he bought by his life and also by his death, God packaged them and called them promises. He summarized everything in one word. He called it what? The inheritance of the saints. Are you getting my point? What is grace? Grace is when a man realizes that there is nothing he can achieve for himself. But what he needs is that which Christ Jesus achieved for himself but gave up for him. Are you getting my point? Let me say it again. Grace is when you realize, this is how it comes into your life, that I can struggle, I can try, I won't get anywhere. But if I realize that Jesus struggled, in quotes, tried, and got somewhere, and got everything, yet he died, that which he got might be given to me. Are you getting my point? If I believe that, then you will discover that the death of Jesus begins to benefit me. Let me give you a practical example. I learned a lesson recently. I was sharing it with Kingsley this morning. R.B. Thiem said, there are over 7,000 promises that the believer has written in these scriptures. Let me give one of them. He giveth to his beloved even while he sleeps. It is forbidden for a Christian to walk day and night. You don't understand the grace of Jesus yet. I love to quote Paul Getty, upside down, of course, because of the statement he made. He said, how do you become rich? Rise up early and go to bed late and strike oil. I said, the Bible says it is vain for a man to rise early and to go to bed late, because he gives the striking of oil to his beloved even while he's sleeping. Mary Kay Ash proved that to be true in her book, Miracles Happen, when she told the story of how she struck oil. Her son came to her with his friend. So this is my young friend, he's a geologist. He has developed an interesting method of prospecting for oil. I know him, he's smart, it works. Invest money. The woman invested money and forgot she invested money. Are you getting the point? She forgot she invested money. Then some time later, I don't know how long, I don't know how many months or how many years. The story I'm about to explain something. She titled the chapter in her book, Miracles Happen. That chapter, she titled it, You Can't Outgive God. She said one day, her pastor called her to please come and motivate people so that they can finish the children's church building that they used to, all right, they were building. She did not like to speak in church, even though she was a very accomplished public speaker. So she took a very far away date. Anyway, Yoruba man has a saying that it might be far at the beginning, but one day, 20 years will remain only tomorrow. Just by the way, when the British took over Hong Kong from the Chinese, it was 140 years. One day, it was tomorrow. That the lease ended and they handed over back to the Chinese. Anyway, so that day came, and in her rush, the day before that, Saturday night, she went out with her husband. They came back late and she fell asleep. Next morning, they woke up late. And in rushing to get ready, she was in the bathroom putting up her makeup. She said, if people ever say that they heard God speak to them, this is the closest I ever came to it. Then I heard a voice in me say, offer to double any amount of money they will raise that day. Normally what they will get is $500, that kind of money. And then that day she went there. She started talking around. Finally she just dropped the talk and said, I beg, look, let's forget all of this talk. We need to finish this thing. So what we're going to do is that any money you give, I double it. If you raise $500, I make it $1,000. If you raise $10,000, I make it $20,000. And I want cash or check now. And the pastor said, you know, most people didn't prepare for this. Just give them till tomorrow. He said, okay, by tomorrow, I want everybody to bring their cash or their checks. She titled the chapter, You Can't Outgive God. Next morning, she expected a phone call so that he would tell her how much money they had raised. The phone call did not come. So she felt that maybe the money was plenty, maybe up to $1,000, up to $10,000. Finally, the phone call came from the head deacon in church, who said that first of all, said, sorry we called you late. We called you late because we were debating what we'll do with the pledge you made openly. What was the pledge? that you double everything. So the church said that as a body, because anything you lose on earth is losing heaven. He said, as a body, we have released you from that pledge. You don't have to meet it. The woman said, don't worry, it's my pledge. I stand by my word. He said, no, let me explain. The money is plenty, therefore I want to release you from the pledge. The woman said, how much is it? They said, $104,000. And the man repeated it. I told you, we released you from the pledge. And she said, it's my word. I stand by it. She sat down there and said, yig bilu. $104,000. She said, okay, all right, what I'm going to do is that. I'll go and talk to my bank manager. I'm a credible debtor. Nothing spoiled. They'll give me the money. Because she said, you have to redeem that day. So she had that day to pay $104,000. She was still sitting on the same seat. Less than an hour later, that same phone rang again. This time around, it's her son that brought a friend that time. And the question is, mommy, why is it that everything you touch turns to gold? The woman said, explain. Say, remember that's my friend? He said, I do. He said, we finally struck oil. Your share in the first 1 month is over $100,000. She said, it was a humble woman that took her pledge to church that morning. That it wasn't like, yes, I'm a great giver. It was with the fear and trembling. When you see the abilities of God demonstrated in your life, you will respect them. The woman said it was with trembling and humility, all right, that she went to church that day. Now, why I said that a lot of people like to turn upside down. A lot of preachers hear this story. And so they say, right now. That's the jagudaness in these things that we do. If I shout right now, all of you that rush forward, you won't get jack. One or two people come and tell me funny stories after God bless them. He was planning to bless you before. It's not that day. Nancy, Pastor Banky, what are you saying? Listen, this woman didn't start her lifestyle that day. Are you getting my point? It's not one single day, she just jumped up. Why do you think God came to speak to her? Why has he not spoken to you in your bedroom until I show up? Well, let's leave that. I always get irritable when I get there. Because this story is very sweet. All those fire brigade money raising bobos, they like such stories. They'll come and tell it. Why did I tell my own? My own, so that you will understand that the Lord gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. That's how Christians prosper. We understand that there are promises. We can sleep. We don't have to follow Paul Getty. So Paul Getty had results to show. Analyze results for me properly. Most of his children died of drug overdose or drunken driving and crashed their into accidents. One of them said money was a curse to our family. Even though he was the richest man in the world, why should I follow him? Can you imagine the son of the richest man in the world saying money was a curse to our family? The man died a certified psychiatric case. He was paranoid to the core. So let's forget what he said. Let's follow what God says. What did Jesus do? Jesus died so that God can bless his beloved even while he sleeps. Listen. All the labor you are trying to labor that God might bless you. Jesus said, I have labored the blessing, I have collected the blessing. I have labored the labor, I have collected the blessing. The blessing does not remain anymore. Let me explain something to you. All the blessings tied to obedience to God, they have finished. Any blessing you get now, I need to give you this principle before I leave here. Anytime you see God tell stories about two people, it affects your life. You have to choose one of the two. It's not an accident that there was only Esau and Jacob, and there was no Michael in between them. You know what it means? Every child of God has to be either an Esau or a Jacob. What is Jacob? What is Esau? Jacob believed in the blessing. Are you getting the point? And when the time came for the blessing to be released, Jacob did whatever he had to do to get it. After Isaac finished blessing Jacob, Esau arrived. And you know what he said? What Isaac said? Your brother has collected everything. He said, is there no small blessing left for me again? The guy said, the blessing will not remain again. No? Okay, let me bless you. You will be his servant. Listen. Every blessing you get by your own labor, it is tied with one thing. You must be a servant to Jacob. The true blessings, they finished long ago. The Lord Jesus Christ came and collected them before you came. You know what he's now doing? He said he ascended on high. He gave gifts unto men. What he's now doing is that he's demonstrating, he's distributing that which he has collected. And if you want true blessing from the bosom of the Father, you have to connect with Jesus Christ. You have to. You have to. And except you resemble him, the Father does not give you true blessing. He gives you small, temporal blessing that only makes you a servant. That's why all these things you are sowing seeds towards. You are using your labor to force something out of God. They are only things that will make you a servant. I am telling you the truth. No matter how blessed you are by your own struggles, you are a servant. You are a servant of Jacob. Esau will always serve Jacob. No matter how much he tries, he's a servant to Jacob. Why? Because Jesus came, collected all the good blessings. Every single one. Even those who get healed, without being healed directly from him, he said there are crumbs that fall from the master's table. Are you getting my point? The totality of the blessings, the Bible says it pleased God that all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. If you don't know Christ, you are a confused and doomed person. You are. And that's why that Jonah, when I saw it, it worried me. That Christians will gather and not magnify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to, because it's as you magnify him in yourself. You know what? Let me end with one scripture. Then we'll continue developing from this point next time. Are you learning something today? Colossians chapter 1. So when Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was not a man filling pipe with himself. I hope you know the meaning of the word pipe now. Somebody says swagger. He wasn't just feeling tough. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Colossians chapter 1, from verse 24. He said, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Now, this is the word of God I'm trying to fully carry out the preaching of. That is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. In fact, the Holy Spirit is really directing my teaching. Because, you know, I said next week, we'll start from talking about what? The believer's hope of victory. Do you get the point? The believer's hope of victory. Listen, this is how Christians triumph in life. You know, Jesus looked and said, the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. You know what it means? Anybody who is found in the image of Christ, the prince of this world will also come and have nothing in him. Your labor, I've said as a believer, forget it, you don't have to labor to prosper. I was saying a lion card the other day, we're in my house. I said, my little experience in life has taught me something. If any believer who is a businessman will just go after a good name, he can never be poor in life. You hear what I said? You don't have to be sharp, that is. The only thing you can do in life is to wreck the blessing that God is channeling your direction by bad behavior. What am I saying? Your job as a believer, as an example, using business as an example, is just to go after what God has made you to be, a good and righteous person in Christ Jesus. And that way, every blessing you have ever imagined will come to you. Let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about that maybe next week, if I remember. Don't ever be afraid of dreaming big. Do you know why? Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above that which you can ask or think. Because there is a power that works in you who believe. What am I saying? Believers don't get things because they struggled. Listen, you can. Let me tell you something. Let me give you some issues. There are many things to say. You may see everybody running to go and get MBA because they want a better job. As a Christian, don't bother. If you want an MBA, get an MBA because you want to have the knowledge that MBA confers. A friend of mine told me that all his life he's dreamt of going to do an MBA in a particular top university. Funny enough, he doesn't need it for a job. Just something I've always wanted to do. I wish believers would start thinking like that. I always tell people that when my wife resigned from working in the bank was when she enrolled in SU Business School to get an MBA. And this year, she's going back to go and get an MSc. After the MSc, she'll get a PhD. But do I need to tell you that she's not looking for a job? When you see my wife looking for a job, know that I sinned and I'm being punished. Pray for me that I might repent and be reconciled. And don't come for my Bible studies again until I've repented and I'm reconciled with God. Don't ever forget what I said. Yoruba man has to say, if you see an adult running in the afternoon, either he's pursuing something or something is pursuing. What am I saying is that whatever you want to do in life, ask yourself, am I pursuing something or something is pursuing me? Ask yourself, what am I pursuing or what is pursuing me? I'm not saying Christians shouldn't get degrees. Did I say that? No. I'm saying, why are they doing it? If you are looking for it because if I do this, I will now get a better job. Just know that you have not yet discovered the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because he said, man shall not live by bread alone. I suffered some financial disappointments in the last few weeks, all right? Don't worry, it's not nothing terrible, all right? But disappointments. And I one day I was coming down from my car, and I was laughing to myself. And telling the Lord, I said, Baba God, now wow. You really, Job was right. You give and you take. Now you take this one. And God has taken from me before, I know. Me and I, we know the quarrel over. I said, Baba God, because people say, rebuke the devil. Do you know, I don't even know when last I rebuked the devil on such things. Devil know the fear. Go and ask Satan. When he went to God's presence concerning Job, he said, I know they go near that side. The angels are dangerous. Last time we went by, they almost removed my nose. Because they don't worry. I'll tell them to go back. I'll tell them to move back. Go and tell Job for me. But this was what happened. After one disappointment, after the other, it was as if God was just following them one after the other. If I look at this disappointment, I said, okay, this one will go work. I tell my wife, don't worry, this one will work. As I look at that disappointment, I said, don't worry. After the third one, I said, wait, what's going on? The scripture came to my head, which I had preached before. I should start listening to my own messages. I said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I said, what that means is that anything that natural things can give to you, all right? If you focus on the word of God, you will get it without having those natural resources. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, if I one day, you know something happened. Hey, he's not around here. One brother, he comes around once in a while. Namdi, are you around? No, he's not around. He's in Lagos, all right? He called me last week. He's in Lagos. He came with Charlie. I said, I've seen this face before. He said, I was his lecturer at Newe. I said, okay, so I told you at Newe. He's a medical doctor now. He's a medical student when I was teaching him there. So we chatted a bit. So he said that he went to Lagos to apply for residency. He wants to be a pathologist. So I said, oh, Lagos, that's where I came from. That's my chief. My chief is there. I said, why didn't you tell me you were going to Lagos? Like, you should have just told me before you went. You know what he said? Even me, I was humbled, like Pastor Vanke, close your mouth. He said, oh, you taught us we don't need to know anybody. I said, you are right. I repent. He said, you spoke to us that we don't need to know anybody. He said, I listened to one of your messages. He said, actually, when I told my colleagues around my family I was going to apply in Lagos, you know the way Lagos is, intense competition. They told me, don't bother. They won't take you. Bing, 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 bing. Just forget it. That is summary of all these tongues they are speaking. All right? So he forgot it. Where he was serving deep in the north, where he needs to travel 1.5 hours to get to a bank, he listened to one of the messages I preached again. And he said, no, I don't need to know anybody. Because his own father asked him, who do you know? And his father, is in Lagos, or anyway, somewhere in the south. And then he called his father one day and said, please, help me pay for the form because the bank is too far away. He said, it will be a waste of money. He said, that's the only money I'm asking you to waste for me. The young man flew of course, from where he was, went down to the nearest airport. Of course, you know, that would be like 3-4 hours away. Flew to Lagos. That's a lot of money for the interview. When he came to see me here, he was to tell me the story. He said, when I went in there, I prepared for the interview. I went for the interview. I was the best performing candidate. And Luth has a rule. Once you are the best performing candidate at the interview, even the president cannot unseat you. That's how he got admitted into the program. So when he was telling me, you know, he told me at the beginning that, but he said, we don't need to know anybody. Once we know God, I said, that is very correct. He said, oh, his own father said, now, wow, this faith you are practicing, you know, that kind of response. His friends now say, hey, if we had known, we would have also applied in Luth. I said, they would have drowned like the Egyptians. You follow a man who is blessed into departed water. Water that parted. You follow a man who's blessed into it. You're on your own. As soon as he finishes crossing, the water will collapse on you so heavily. That's what I'm telling you. Your life is not average as a believer. Why I told that young man's story is because he reminded me of the scripture which I had quoted and I preached before. That man does not live by bread alone. What that means, we used to say that it means he lives by bread and has the word. No, he's saying bread is not the only thing that can provide life for you. The word of God without bread will give it to you also. Therefore, Elijah will eat a meal and will go in the strength of that meal for 40 days to the mountain of God. I forgot it. Therefore, God went after me tooth and toenail. That this boy, you must remember, you must be careful that these things don't slip away from you. So I suffered one disappointment after another. But good enough, God, thank you for the heart of David. I quickly remembered. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I like the way Don Moen said it. I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Do you understand my point? Yes, I have begun to depend on man. Meanwhile, there is an inheritance in Christ Jesus. You know what it says? That even though I don't know anybody, even though I don't have any material thing on this earth, I can achieve anything that my heart desires. Listen to me. God answers prayers. Listen to me, saints of God. If you will ask anything, not quoting your own bread. You know my quoting your own bread. God, after all, I have an MBA. I have a second class upper. People who don't have as much as I have, they are getting the job. Why me? Why me? Why me? What is going on with me? Is it the sins of my ancestors? I rebuke them in Jesus' name. God, look at it. In school, I was good. God said, okay, go on. This boy is depending on bread. And he wants me to cooperate with bread to bring him success. Forget. But if you go there and say, God, whether I have bread or not, it's besides the point. I like that kind of job. And for good reasons too. Hear me, saints of God. There are not enough curses running through your ancestry to stop you from prospering. They are not enough. You know why? Jesus fought for all the blessings. Are you getting my point? And he collected all the blessings. And he said, therefore, you know what you will do? You will ask anything in my name. Not in your strength. Not in your connection. But ask because I have collected the blessing from the Father. So if you ask in my name, I will give it to you. The reason why we have not received a lot of things is because we have been so sane like the Philistines, using human calculations to make up our minds what we can ask God for. That's why I said as believers, please don't be afraid to dream big. Yesterday, 2 days ago, my wife was asking me, how much did they sell an airplane? Because I've told her that you own airlines. I said, you own an airline, you have airplanes. He said, okay, how much did they sell airplanes, Seth? I said, which one? He said, like this big one that they fly all over. I said, okay, like a 787, Boeing 787. He said, yes. I said, a Boeing 787 is $550 million. Amen. He said, what? He said, what about the smaller ones? I said, like which one? He said, a 737. I said, is this that small one that they fly around in Nigeria? He said, yes. I said, that's about $50 million for one. She said, what? I said, don't worry. But let me just say something. This is by the way. Don't let those things scare you. Natural human beings are getting them without having money. Yes, how much more Jacobs that are supposed to be saved by Esau? Ooh. Let me tell you what will happen. One day somebody will call you and say, we want to start an airline. We can't. Somebody say, once we talk to you, the blessing upon you will make it float. Yes. Yeah. Say, what do you want? Tell them I want 45%. Don't take anything lower. That's for my name. He said, now I will give you people 100 million naira. That might be 51. That I buy 6 extra pieces. Let's say it will happen. Did I hear an
amen?
If you're a business person, all you need to do is right now cultivate faithfulness. What did I say? All you are doing business with the 5,000 naira, manage that 5,000 naira like it is the word of God. Do you understand my point? Don't cheat anybody. Don't owe anybody needlessly. All right? When you have money, pay them off. Don't lie. If it is from China, it's from China. If it's from America, it's from America. Things made in China are not made in America. Don't mistakenly forget and tell them it's from America. If you know it is from Dubai, it is from Dubai. You don't need to lie. Just do that. And I'm telling you, I told you the story of one of my friends. I know I've overshot my time, but I'm sure you're learning one or two things. One of my friends called me. I've told the story several times. I just need to tell you again so that you know that these things happen. He called me, said, Banky, what is that Kingdom World Ministry account number again? I told him. He said, I need to send an urgent offering. I said, what happened? He said, I will gist you. For your information, the time I was in the U.S., he called me. He said, I want to send you a prophet's offering. I have $400 for you. How do I send? I said, give it to my wife. I was paying to my dorm account. She'll push it into my MasterCard. I'll be able to use it in the U.S. That was, he said, this bank, this one is for you as a man of God. He's my friend, though. The first time I wanted to send him more money, what happened? I told the story a number of times. It was in Enugu here, all right? And his phone rang. This big man called Mike and said, am I talking with so-and-so person? He said, yes. He said, I'm chief this, this, and this, and that. My friend was like, what? He said that the MD of First Bank Mortgage, you know, they have this mortgage unit, gave me your number. Said, if I want anybody that can do this job well and do it honestly, I should talk to you. So the man said, sir, what do you want to do for you, sir? He said, can we see my house in the evening? The guy said, no problem, sir. What he did not tell was that he was in Enugu. He just told the man, no problem, sir, and drove straight to the airport and boarded the next flight and ran down to Lagos. This is the point I'm trying to make to you, all right? The day he decided to call me, he called me to send Kingdom World money. You know what happened? He said this big man had an issue, so he kept him waiting. He and some local government people that are supposed to inspect a particular site, he kept them waiting for some time, for about 2 hours. When he came back full of apologies. I said, oh boy, what do we do to these other men? We've been keeping them waiting. He settled the men. He now said, as for you, I'm sorry I kept you waiting. He opened his bag, brought out 200,000 naira to compensate him for wasting 2 or 3 hours of his time. The guy left the place, phoned me and said, Banky, what's Kingdom World account number? I need to send an offering, an emergency offering. This is his story. He was driving on the streets of Enugu when his phone rang. And they told him, I heard that if I need somebody who is good and honest, it is you. That's what you need as a testimony. Because Jesus has, in all this your struggle, he struggled it. When he used to pray all night, it's so that you wouldn't have to pray all night. When he would go for 40 days without food, so that Banky will never go for 3 days without food. He said, this is a special prayer to bring forth breakthrough. Jesus has already broken the broken breaking through. Do you hear what I said? The Lord Jesus has already broken the breaking through. What I use my own prayer for now is to connect by faith with the person of Christ Jesus. If I need to fast, I will fast so that this revelation of his face might be clear to me. After that, all other things are properly and particularly added unto me. Let me stop. I've kept you for too long.